Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries Messianic Passover Seder. We are so glad you decided to join us and listen in as we celebrate Passover. This Seder combines traditional Jewish elements with their fulfillment in Messiah Yeshua, following traditional steps while incorporating their messianic significance. We have before us our Seder plate. And there are certain elements that are important, required elements. First, we have the lamb, which represents the Passover lamb and Yeshua's sacrifice. And then we have a boiled egg, which is a symbol of new life and resurrection. We have the maror, or bitter herbs. We also can use horseradish, which today we're using horseradish. This represents the bitterness of slavery and sin. We have the heraset, which is a mixture of apples and nuts. This represents the mortar of slavery and the sweetness of redemption. We have parpas, which is parsley, which represents new life in Messiah. We have an olive, which represents the peace we now have with Yahweh and Yeshua as our Prince of Peace. And also, it's a reminder to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then we have the hazaret, the celery, which is an additional bitter herb. We also have 4 cups of grape juice. Some Jewish families use wine, but we use grape juice because we don't drink wine. These represent the 4 I wills of Exodus 6:6-7. I will bring you out, which is the cup of sanctification. I will deliver you, which is the cup of deliverance. I will redeem you, which is the cup of redemption. And I will take you, which is the cup of restoration. This last one, actually, if you read the scripture it comes from, incorporates 2 I wills. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. But that talks about restoring us into relationship with the Most High. Then we have salt water. We dip parsley in it twice. This represents tears of slavery and the waters of purification. Then we have Elijah's cup. The Jewish people say that because Elijah is supposed to come before the day of the Lord, and they don't believe that Messiah has come yet. They're looking for Elijah. That's why it's called Elijah's cup. But for us, as Messianic believers, it's the hope for Messiah's return, his second coming. And then we have the hand washing basin and towel. We begin our Seder service with a festival blessing. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bekar Vanu Bekalam Biramanu Bekal Lashon Bihishanu Bivet Zovatav, which translates into English as, "Blessed are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and languages and sanctified us with his commandments." So then we drink the first cup, the Kadesh, which is the cup, remember, of sanctification. I will bring you out. We speak this blessing over the wine. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Piyud Hagavan, which means, "Blessed are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine." Messianic significance is Yeshua was set apart as our Redeemer. Then there's the Urchats. This is a ritual hand washing, but without the blessing. This Messianic significance is Yeshua washing his disciples' feet. He washed their feet and said they were clean. And I think it was Peter who said he wanted to be washed all over, but he said, "It's enough that I wash your feet." So now we're going to do this ritual hand washing without the blessing. Okay, we're back. And now we want to talk about carpus, which is the green vegetable. On our Seder plate, that's represented by the parsley. So we dip the parsley in salt water twice. One, two. And this signifies, in the messianic significance, new life through tears of repentance. Next thing on our event, on our Seder, is breaking the hatz, which we break one of the matzahs, and we break it in half, and we put half of it in the, what we call the afikomen bag. And then we take it and we hide it. And then usually later in the Seder, the youngest member of the family will find it. Okay, I have now hidden the afikomen, and Inru will find it later. In the messianic significance, Yeshua's body was broken for us, and he was hidden in the tomb for 3 days. Now we come to one of the biggest and most important parts of the Seder, Samagid, the telling. We drink the second cup, the cup of plagues or cup of deliverance, to represent, I will deliver you. And then I'll tell the Exodus story. So once again, we say the blessing over the wine, which is grape juice for us. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, which in Hebrew is Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech Haolam, Borei Pe'ev Hagvin. Our story begins long ago in the land of Egypt, where the children of Israel found themselves far from the promises made to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What started as a place of refuge became a prison of oppression. After the death of Joseph, a new Pharaoh arose who did not remember the kindness Joseph had shown to Egypt. He looked upon the Israelites and saw not a people, but a threat. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. We must deal shrewdly with them. And so began a systematic destruction of hope. The Egyptians made the Israelites slaves, forcing them to build cities of brick and toil in the fields. They crushed their spirits with hard labor, making their lives bitter and harsh in servitude. The Egyptians worked them ruthlessly, making their lives miserable with back-breaking labor. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. This only increased Pharaoh's fear and hatred. In these dark times, a child was born to a Levite family. Seeing his extraordinary nature, his mother hid him for 3 months. When she could no longer conceal him, she placed him in a basket among the reeds of the Nile. The baby's sister watched from a distance. Pharaoh's own daughter discovered the child and had compassion. She knew this was a Hebrew child, but chose to save him and named him Moses, which means drawn out of the water. Moses grew up in the palace, educated in all the wisdom of Egypt, but he never forgot his people. One day, seeing an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, he intervened, killing the Egyptian and hiding his body in the sand. This act of murder meant he had to run away from Egypt into the wilderness, where he encountered Jethro and his daughters. Years later, while tending sheep for Jethro in the wilderness, Moses encountered the miraculous, a bush that burned but was not consumed. From this bush, the voice of God spoke. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. God commissioned Moses to return to Egypt and demand the release of the Israelites. Let my people go. Moses and his brother Aaron approached Pharaoh with God's message, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Who is the Lord, he declared, that I should obey him and let Israel go? Not know this Lord. I will not let Israel go. Thus began a series of miraculous plagues, water turning to blood, frogs covering the land, gnats and flies swarming, livestock dying, boils afflicting people and animals, hail and fire raining from the sky, locusts devouring crops, and darkness covering Egypt. The final plague was so bad because Pharaoh remained obstinate. God declared a final terrible plague. On one night, the destroyer would pass through Egypt, striking down the firstborn in every household. The Israelites were given specific instructions. Prepare a lamb. Mark your doorposts with its blood. When the destroyer sees the blood, he will pass over your home, sparing your firstborn. That night, a great cry rose in Egypt. In every home, the firstborn had died, from the palace to the poorest dwelling. But the homes of the Israelites were preserved. Every home that had the blood on the doorposts was spared. Broken and terrified, Pharaoh finally relented. Go, he told Moses. Leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. In haste, the Israelites left. They had no time for bread to rise, so they took unleavened dough. 600,000 men, plus women and children, departed from slavery into freedom. God led them not by the shortest route, but by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He brought them to the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army in pursuit, because Pharaoh, after they had left, a little bit of a change of a heart and regretted in his haste and sorrow for telling them they could go. He wanted them back. But at God's command, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. A strong east wind blew all night, turning the sea into dry land. The waters were divided. The Israelites walked through on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. What an amazing sight that must have been. When the Egyptians pursued, the waters crashed down, destroying Pharaoh's entire army. Standing on the other side, free at last, people sang. Moses and Miriam led them in a song of triumph. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. For the messianic believers, in this story, we see not just historical deliverance, but a profound picture of spiritual redemption. Just as God delivered Israel from physical slavery in Egypt, he offers deliverance from slavery to sin through the promised Messiah, Yeshua. The lamb's blood on the doorpost foreshadows the ultimate redemption through Yeshua, our Passover lamb, whose blood brings us from death to life. Our deliverance is not just from an earthly Pharaoh, but from the spiritual forces that would hold us in bondage. We celebrate not just an ancient exodus, but our ongoing journey of redemption. So in the messianic parallel, we share the gospel story. We tell people about Yeshua, our Messiah, how he came, God, to earth, born of a virgin, and grew up sinless. And he picked 12 disciples. And then one day, he had a Passover dinner with them. And he shared the story. He shared that he was going to die and rise again. Of course, he'd been teaching them for days about this, although they didn't really get it. But on that fateful night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was arrested. And he suffered at the hands of the Gentiles at that time, the Romans. And he was crucified. And then he was put in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again. And now we look for his second coming, when he will take us to be with him forever. And that is the story of Passover. So now we do another ritual washing, which we say a blessing for first. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Kitshanu, B'mitzvotav, Yisivanu Al Tilat Yadaim, which in the English translation is, Blessed are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the washing of hands. And once again, in the messianic significance, it's spiritual cleansing. Excuse us while we go and wash our hands again. And then I'll come back and go more in depth into the spiritual purification and cleansing of the water ceremony. In the messianic understanding, spiritual cleansing is far more than a ritual washing. It's a profound transformation of the inner being, a renewal that touches the deepest parts of our soul. Internal transformation, or the concept, is a concept of spiritual cleansing that goes beyond external rituals. As Psalm 51:10 declares, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This speaks to a fundamental reshaping of one's inner nature. The role of the mikvah, ritual immersion. In Jewish tradition, the mikvah represents more than physical cleaning. Messianic sources understand it as a spiritual preparation, a symbolic rebirth and renewal. Rabbi Kurt Landry actually has the mikvah performed after their Seder. They do the Passover Seder, and then everyone who's there gets to be immersed in their pool. There's some key aspects of spiritual cleansing that I want to bring out. It's the removal of spiritual impurity. Sin is viewed as a spiritual contamination that separates us from God. Cleansing involves not just covering sin, but completely removing its stain. Zechariah 13:1 speaks of a fountain open to cleanse from sin and impurity. We have a transformation of our inner self. We are born again through the mikvah of baptism, immersion. More than behavior modification, it's a complete renewal of the mind, heart, and spirit, replacing the heart of stone with a heart of flesh. So in the messianic understanding, spiritual cleansing is made possible through the ultimate sacrifice. Just as the Passover lamb's blood protected the Israelite, Yeshua's sacrifice provides spiritual purification. Our sins are washed away by the blood of the lamb, and we participate in that by participating in the mikvah of immersion. So we confess and repent. Acknowledge our sin, turn away from destructive patterns, align oneself with God's purposes, and you know it's an ongoing process. Spiritual cleansing is not a one-time event. It requires continuous alignment with God's will through regular self-examination and realignment. Community involvement is often very important, although it's not necessary to be baptized in a church in front of a bunch of people. You can be baptized, just by yourself with just one other person, the person baptizing you and you. But spiritual cleansing is not purely individual. It can involve accountability and is supported by community practices of prayer, study, and mutual encouragement. This community involvement can help you stay grounded in your new faith, in your new life. So I would recommend you try to have community involvement. But in the messianic perspective, spiritual cleansing is rooted in God's mercy. It's made possible through Yeshua's sacrifice, a restoration of the original relationship intended between humanity and God, dependent on human effort, on divine grace. So we want to reflect on this scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as 1 John 1:9. So what is the practical application here? Repent and be baptized. Go through regular self-examination and be honest and confess. If you have something to confess, honest confession is a good thing. Openness to change and to being transformed. That's important. You got to be open to change. If you're not willing to change, it's not going to do any good. And we want to seek God's continuous renewal. We want to grow up in our faith. Amen? So the washing in the Passover Seder symbolizes this deeper spiritual cleansing, a reminder that we are washed by the washing of the Word, who is Yeshua, and to continually be renewed, restored, and realigned with God's purposes. Now we have the blessing over the bread, the matzah, which is Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Hamotzi Lehem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. You know, in the messianic significance, Yeshua is the bread of life. In John 6, 32 to 35, Yeshua said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." You do a study on the matzah, you do study on the manna, you will see that the manna was representative of Yeshua, the bread of life, and the matzah represents that. So now we break the matzah and we eat it. This is the part where Yeshua, when he was having Passover with his disciples, broke the bread and instituted communion. So anytime we break the matzah and take communion, we remember what Yeshua did for us. And that's what we're doing right now, looking at it as the communion bread, the body of Christ, broken for us. Next, we go to the spot on our Seder plate that has the mar, the bitter herbs. And we say this blessing, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kishanu Bevitzotav Bitzivanu Al Haviat Maror. Blessed are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning eating bitter herbs. And we often can eat the bitter herbs with the Haroset, which signifies the bitterness of sin and the sweetness of redemption. Then there's the correct, the Halil sandwich, which is matzah with bitter herbs and Haroset. And this signifies, in the messianic significance, full redemption from our sins, the full redemption experience. Oh, hallelujah. And then on the other things on our plate, we have the olive. Once again, it represents the peace we now have with Yeshua through his sacrifice. We are now, once again, in right relationship with Yahweh. And also, we remember that Yeshua is our Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace, his peace. Amen? Now we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm going to do that before I eat my olive. Lord, we lift up Jerusalem and we pray, Lord, that you would bring peace to Jerusalem. Show yourself strong and fight on her behalf. She might be at peace right now. Destroy her enemies. And most of all, may she come to the saving knowledge of their Messiah. You, Yeshua, you are their Messiah. Open their eyes to see that they may have true peace. In your precious name, amen. We eat the bitter herbs once again to remind us that sin is bitter, but being rescued from our sin, be cleansed from our sin, and being made right with God once again is sweet. So we eat the bitter herbs, the celery, along with the Haroset. Then we have the boiled egg. We now have new life in our Yeshua Messiah. We were born again when we repented, were baptized, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are born again. We have new life. And now we have a new relationship, a new covenant with our God. Hallelujah. So now we come to the most important part of the Seder plate, the lamb. Without the lamb, we wouldn't be here. Without the blood on the doorpost, without Yeshua shedding his precious blood as our Passover lamb, we would not be here celebrating the Seder. Me personally, I might not even be alive. But Yeshua is our life and our salvation. And this is the most important part. Amen. Now we're going to eat our lamb. Come to the main festival meal, during which we fellowship and discuss why we celebrate Passover and what it means to us. And part of that is the four questions. A lot of times they will ask the four questions at the beginning. Different traditions are out there. Tonight, we're going to do it now. So Andrew is going to ask the four questions.
Okay, first question. Why on all other nights do we eat either leavened or unleavened bread, but on this night we eat only unleavened bread, matzah?
Well, the traditional answer is we eat matzah to remember how the Israelites fled Egypt in such haste that their bread didn't even have time to rise. In the Messianic connection, Yeshua identified himself as the bread of life in John 6:35. The unleavened bread represents his sinless nature, as leaven often symbolizes sin in Scripture. During his last Passover, he used matzah to represent his body, which would be broken for us.
Second question. Why on all other nights do we eat any kind of vegetables, but on this night we eat bitter herbs, maror?
Well, the traditional answer is we eat bitter herbs to remember the bitterness of slavery that our ancestors endured in Egypt. In the Messianic connection, this bitterness can be seen as representing the suffering Yeshua endured for our salvation. Just as the bitter herbs remind us of slavery in Egypt, this can also remind us of the bitter cup Yeshua willingly drank in Gethsemane and on the cross to free us from slavery to sin.
Third question. Why on all other nights do we not dip even once, but on this night we dip twice?
Well, the traditional answer is we dip twice, parsley and salt water, representing tears, and the bitter herbs in Hariset, representing the mortar used in slavery. In the Messianic connection, the dual dipping can be connected to Yeshua's dual nature, fully God and fully man, and his two comings, first as the suffering servant and as the second coming, the conquering king. It also reminds us of how he dipped the bread with Judas at the Last Supper, which was a pivotal moment in the redemption story. Remember, he said, "The one who dips with me is the one who will betray me."
Fourth question. Why on all other nights do we eat either sitting or reclining, but on this night we recline?
Well, the traditional answer is we recline because in ancient times, reclining while eating was a symbol of freedom and luxury, unlike slaves who had to eat standing. In the Messianic connection, for Messianic believers, this represents the rest and freedom we have in Messiah. Just as the Israelites were freed from physical bondage, Yeshua offers us true freedom from spiritual bondage. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, he says in Matthew 11:28. These questions serve as powerful teaching tools, helping each generation understand both the historical exodus from Egypt and the spiritual exodus from sin through Yeshua the Messiah. The parallel between physical redemption from Egypt and spiritual redemption through Messiah creates a beautiful tapestry of God's redemptive plan throughout history. The format of questions and answers also reflects the Jewish tradition of teaching through asking questions, something Yeshua himself often did in his ministry. This interactive approach helps engage all participants in the Seder, making the experience more meaningful and memorable for everyone involved. Well, the next thing we're going to do now is find and eat the afikomen. This represents the resurrection of Messiah. So Ian Rue is now looking for the afikomen.
Found it.
Woo, he found it. Now we can celebrate and remember that Yeshua didn't just die and stay dead. He was resurrected on the third day. And it's because he rose again that we have the blessed hope of the resurrection and his second coming. Amen? Time for the breath. The third cup. Cup of redemption. I will redeem you. This represents the new covenant in Yeshua's blood. It's the cup during his Passover meal, the Last Supper, where he told them, drink this cup, all of it. It is the new covenant in my blood. So we're going to drink. And remember, once again, Yeshua shed his precious blood for us. Amen. The fourth cup, the cup of restoration, or the cup of praise, is for I will take you. Remember, he's going to take us as his people. He's going to be our God. And in the story of the Last Supper, they sang a hymn, and then they went out to the Mount of Olives, which is in Matthew 26:30. So we now belong to Yeshua because of what he did on the cross, and that we believed in him. So now we can praise him. So we're going to drink this cup after I say the blessing. Here's the blessing over the wine or grape juice. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Borei Ve'Hagvin. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Just like they sang a song, we're going to recite some psalms of praise. The first one is Psalm 4:7. You have put joy in my heart, more than their grain and new wine are abundant. And Psalms 5:11. But rejoice, all who take refuge in you. Sing for joy forever, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, may we take these psalms to heart and remember that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. This is a joyous occasion because we're remembering that we are no longer slaves. We're now free and that we've been born again. We have a king whose kingdom is forever. He shed precious blood to heal us, save us, deliver us, set us free from everything that keeps us from having a relationship with him or holds us back from our destiny in him. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Psalms 30:11. You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have untied my sackcloth and encircled me with joy. Psalm 33:3. Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. There are many, many more praises in the Bible. And we should be singing these praises to each other every day. Sing praises. Recite psalms. Bless each other every day. So we thank you for listening in as we celebrated our Passover Seder. We hope you were blessed and learned a lot. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you through Yeshua the Messiah, our Passover Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without cost. And the traditional ending to every Seder, next year in Jerusalem.